Hey everybody, welcome again to F This Movie. My name is Patrick Bromley, and I am joined tonight for a discussion of Captain America the Winter Soldier by the two stars of F This Movie's hot new column, Growing Up Nerdy, Mike.
Hey everybody.
And Adam Foss.
Wonder Twin Powers activate.
If you guys are not reading Growing Up Nerdy Fridays at fthismovie.net, you might as well kill yourselves. You can find our website at fthismovie.net, and you should follow us on Twitter. We are at fthismovie. Like us on Facebook. Find us in the iTunes store by searching fthismovie. Email us at fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com. I think I got them all. All of our past shows and new content every day is available at fthismovie.net, so that should be your first stop. Literally every day, that should be the first thing you do before you feed your children or put your oxygen mask on. We're going to be talking about Captain America, the Winter Soldier, and my suspicion is we're going to talk a little bit about, like, did you like it, did you not, and then we're probably going to move pretty quickly into spoilers, because I think it's the kind of movie that...
There's a lot of spoiler.
You can kind of only really have a conversation about it if you're dealing in spoilers. So we will give a short review and then we'll talk spoilers. Hopefully you saw it this weekend. It looks, based on the box office, like almost everyone did. And I apologize for the different sound this week. You know, recently we upgraded our sound equipment and people have been very nice about that and giving us some good feedback. And then I never really considered, like, oh, when we do a show with more than two people, we can't use that equipment. So we have a different setup this week. Blame Mike and Adam, not me.
He's looking at us right now.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. So we're gonna talk Captain America in just a minute. But first, I have to ask Mike. Have you seen anything good lately?
I have. One here. I'll be brief on both of these. One I actually saw a while ago, but I haven't had a chance to talk with you about it. I finally saw Machete Kills.
Oh.
I know you're a huge fan, Patrick. Have you seen it?
I've not.
You're going to want to after he says whatever he says.
it's not good, but what really struck me was for the first, I don't know, 20 minutes, half hour, it's honestly probably not that long, it wasn't the worst movie.
I think you liked it longer than I did.
I don't want to give the impression I really liked it. It just wasn't the worst thing ever. But then Mel Gibson shows up.
Yeah.
And it really struck me that if you would have told me, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, that Mel Gibson will show up in a movie and then the movie will shit the bed, I would say you are nuts. Like, I really loved Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
There was a time he just... And I really don't think I'm bringing any of the extracurricular stuff into my opinion of his performance.
Is that what we call racism? Extracurriculars?
He's so awful.
He's awful, and the movie is weirdly self-satisfied just by virtue of the fact that he's in it.
And there is that,
there's
too.
Just air quotes around it, like, hey, Mel Gibson is in this. Right. Aren't we cutting edge?
I just have that, for whatever reason, that's what struck me the most, is I was just almost this sadness, like this, and I mean, not the guy that I used to like is long dead from the racism and everything you just mentioned, but the actor that I used to like is also.
Yeah. It's a dead, really a terrible movie.
It is. It feels like a movie where he had, you know, some celebrity friends that were able to give him a day, you know, he'd have him for that day and then. They would be gone, and it feels like that. It's just not.
That is one of those movies. I really didn't have a huge drive to see it anyway. Yeah. And then after hearing you guys all talk about it, I was like, why am I thinking about it?
Like the movie. Okay, spoilers for the end of Machete Kills. Everyone, it ends with him going into space to catch the bad guy. Right? Ha 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 ha. And then there's this fake trailer for Machete Kills in Space, or is it just Machete in Space?
I think it's Machete in Space.
Machete in Space is a funnier title, which makes me think it's Machete Kills in Space.
It might
be. but here's the thing. This movie is such garbage, it doesn't even understand its own joke. So it opens with the trailer
just
for Machete
say.
In Space. Instead of making that the funny fucking punchline of this garbage movie, it opens with the trailer for Machete in Space. That's not how you do it, dummies.
No.
Anyway,
it is not like
any sense whatsoever.
That's a significant symptom of the fact that nobody knew what the fuck they were doing on that movie.
Right. So
not a fan. What besides Machete Kills?
I rewatched the first time since seeing it in the theater, The Wolf of Wall Street this week.
Oh, okay.
My wife, Christy, had not seen it.
And now you realize it glorifies drug use?
Okay, yeah. So that's what I want to get into. I loved it when I saw it in the theater, and I continue to love it. But when I saw it the first time, I saw it right when it opened. So I didn't enter the movie with the knowledge that people were going to be so harsh. on Scorsese for saying he glorifies these guys and drug use and their lifestyle. That, in my opinion, watching it the second time, could not be further from the truth.
Yeah, I don't.
I don't think, I truly believe, and it's not because I'm a Scorsese nuthugger, I truly believe he does not like these people. He doesn't, okay, in Goodfellas, I don't think he likes those people either. But if you want to see him, when Henry Hill... When he first, gets into the mafia and he's making money and he falls in love with Karen, that stuff's intoxicating. Honestly, I, as a viewer, it's horrible. Sorry. It's horrible, but I understand. But I think Scorsese wanted us to sort of maybe understand the appeal of what was happening. Like, there's none of that in this movie. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, there's no, like, to me, that's
Scorsese. It establishes the thesis right up front in that scene with Matthew McConaughey. Like, at what point during that scene are you like, hey, that does sound pretty cool. Right. If your reaction, as it should be as a human being, is, that sounds repellent. You guys are terrible. Then the rest of the movie sort of follows suit with that.
I agree.
Whereas, in Goodfellas, it wants to show you, like, here's how a normal person can sort of be seduced into this lifestyle.
And I only bring that up saying, like, I think that's just if Scorsese wanted – he knows how to do that is what I'm saying. Right. And he didn't do it. Right. He didn't do it in this movie. So,
but because he doesn't flat out say, like, these guys are bad and I don't approve of this. Now we're upset and we've accused the movie of glorifying them. But – had it come out and said that, everyone would have said, oh, asshole has to spoon feed us, you know?
Right, exactly. Yeah. So,
no, to me, that's a crazy criticism. But
it is, but I found it, but also the second time around, I forgot how funny that movie is at times, too. I don't know that it gets enough credit for that. I think it's...
Did Margot Robbie actually look hot the second time?
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, I'm just kidding. The first time, she was very beautiful. Oh, my God. I just wanted to pretend like she was so ugly on the first view and be like, maybe.
Vomited in my mouth.
Maybe I'll come around on her this second time.
She's pretty stunning.
Australia. I don't know what they're doing in Australia. My goodness. All of the beautiful people come from Australia.
You know, I the first time I went to the San Diego Con, I was lucky enough to get into the Disney party.
You're a total name dropper.
Yeah, right.
You're a total con dropper.
I am. Went into the Disney party.
Guys, it took us like 10 minutes to become San Diego. That's pretty good for us.
But listen, it goes back to Australia. There was a bunch of like Australian animators there, and they were all women. And every one of them was gorgeous.
Crazy, right? Yes. And then the fact that they're animators makes them 10 times hotter.
Yeah.
Instead of like models and actresses. Because you're like, you're just a normal person that does something I like. And you're beautiful. So the movie's still great.
Yeah, movie's still great.
Good. It is really funny.
It is. Have you seen it since you saw it in the theater?
No.
I dropped in
on like 20 minutes of it. Maybe the day after I saw it, I went back to the theater for a double feature.
Oh, please.
Of The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug.
Sure.
And 47 Ronin.
So it was a quick day. Oh, really,
Jesus.
It was...
things moved quickly for that day.
I feel like people throw the term 9/11 around casually, so I won't. But it was a rough day. But in between those movies, I had a little downtime. And so I snuck in and just watched like 10 minutes of it. And those 10 minutes were better than any of the surrounding 7 hours of fantasy garbage that I had to see.
By the way, my favorite,
I do want to see it
again. One of my favorite things you do on the podcast or just in life is how you can, I mean, granted, this was just some months ago, so it's less impressive, but you can recall like triple features you see in 1998.
Yeah.
That's unreal to me.
Yeah, no, it's great. It pushes out no valuable information in my brain that could be used to store like the capitals of states that I don't know.
What's a state?
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Adam, have you seen anything good lately?
Yeah. I saw, first the much anticipated, at least in my world, the Veronica Mars movie.
Yes.
I was
very... I believe there was a panel at San Diego Comic-Con.
Listen.
Con dropper! Sorry, go ahead.
But, and which is a panel we did not get into. I'm not bitter at all.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. No, thanks for bringing it up. So... if you're a fan of the Veronica Mars TV show,
right,
you're going to like the movie. Right. Like, it's just a two-hour episode.
Yeah.
It's all it is. If you're not a Veronica Mars fan, I don't think you're going to enjoy the movie as much.
You probably won't hate it.
No,
but
it's
you fine. Would wonder yeah. why anybody likes it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, it's not doing anything groundbreaking. It's not, you know... It doesn't do anything that make itself stand out. It's just
It's not even a very good mystery.
No, it's not.
But it's fine. It's like, yeah, I know these people.
And
they're,
it kind of like just
saying and doing things I remember.
And it kind of just like wraps up a storyline that they left hanging because it didn't keep going. That was it.
Yeah.
So
it's fine. Good job, Veronica Mars movie. Are you still upset that you didn't get into the panel having seen the movie now?
No, because I'm still more of a. I'm more of a fan of the TV show, but I came into it late.
Okay.
And I kind of would have liked to just, seeing the cast.
Sure,
you know, that
sure.
just would have been it.
Sure.
So.
Anything besides the Veronica Mars movie?
Yeah, I saw the movie The Colony. With Lawrence Fishburne.
Okay. Interesting.
I've still got nothing.
Bill Paxton?
Bill Paxton's in it.
Yeah. I know of it. I haven't seen it.
I'm a sucker for post-apocalyptic movies.
Okay.
And it's one of those movies, and it has some great stuff in it that I really, really liked, but it also had some stuff that I think did not work very well.
Okay.
Since you both are looking at me like you have no idea what I'm talking about, quick plot synopsis.
Sure.
Okay. It takes place in the future. There's human beings that like learn to manipulate the weather, and they screw something up, and the entire planet becomes like Antarctica, and there's only like these few little pockets of people that are still living, and it just follows.
I'm just like some guy at the computer, like, sorry, guys, shit, sorry.
But it follows. Like, they lose contact with another colony, and they have to go find them, and it turns out that... I don't want to give anything away in case you're going to see it, but
I probably won't.
You probably won't.
I mean, you still don't have to give anything away,
but it kinda,
you haven't sold me on it so far.
It made me think of... have you guys seen The Road?
Yes.
I've read The Road. I haven't seen The Road.
Oh, look at you, bookworm.
It wasn't as good as the book.
Sorry.
Wait
till we talk about Winter Soldier.
It's like, Brubaker.
The movie The Road was one of the hardest...
times you've laughed?
No, like, there's nothing to laugh about. Like, that movie is just the most depressing movie I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
And... it kind of, like, has some similar ideas between The Road, but they do it in a lot more...
life is shit and we're better off dead?
Not that
thing. But this time it's cold outside?
But it's...
I pushed the snow button.
Oopsies. Let's get really good at building snowmen. So, yeah, it borrows some stuff from that movie, and I liked... they dealt with it in a better way than I think The Road did. So,
all right.
Just it turns into a horror movie very quickly.
Oh,
so,
okay. Should have let off with
right?
Horror movie.
Yeah,
it's not that we like horror movies at all. We might have said, like, it's this horror movie, and we said, this would be worth listening to.
Yeah, it's a horror movie. I mean, it is
great.
It ends up
can
being
you
a
start
movie.
Over?
Yeah.
Tell me the part about manipulating the weather again, because I got stuck on that because all I could think about was Sean Connery's villain, and did you guys ever see the movie of the Avengers? Not the
The worst.
I thought that trailer looked so awesome. I was super excited to see that movie. I have no idea why, because I didn't watch the show. It's one of the worst movies ever made, right?
Easily.
And all I can remember is like a table of people in teddy bear suits and Sean Connery being like, I'm going to control the weather. Like, that's your fucking plot?
Oh my God.
Yeah. No, it wasn't good. So I got stuck on that and barely listened to your review of The Colony.
Okay, it's a horror movie.
Oh, great.
It takes place in the future.
Is it on Netflix?
It was not on Netflix, no.
How did you see The Colony?
Great question.
Listen, okay. No. As you may or may not know, I have a newborn child, and he would wake up in the middle of the night,
right?
And I would just go downstairs, and I started to just run out of movies that were on demand, so I just watched it on demand.
Oh, all right. So, I thought that was going somewhere seedy. Like, I killed this Korean guy and took his copy. Cool. All right, so... A lot of good there. It's got Bill Paxton from Predator 2.
Yes.
And Lawrence Fishburne from Predators. So you could have just said it's a kind of a Predator reunion. I'll burn through, I think I got like 4, but I am already forgetting what they are. So I'll come up with 3 for sure. 1, I watched a movie called Ass Backwards, which is a comedy starring Casey Wilson and June Diane Raphael, who are both very funny people. Casey Wilson was on Saturday Night Live. I had a big crush on her then. She was on Happy Endings. She was funny on Happy Endings. June Diane Raphael is married to Paul Scheer. She hosts the How Did This Get Made podcast. She's funny in everything she shows up in. She'll do, like, bit parts in a lot of TV shows and stuff. She's always funny. For some reason, the two of them together wrote Bride Wars. Do you guys remember Bride Wars?
Yes.
Like, no one should have written Bride Wars. And then they wrote this movie, Ass Backwards, about these two kind of delusional losers on their way to compete in a pageant. It's a lot of, like, Romeo and Michelle's high school reunion, but way less funny. Just mostly garbage, and it makes me sad to see people that I like and know are funny not only being in a terrible movie, but being responsible for being... Like, you wrote this yourselves. You have no one to blame but you guys. So that was disappointing.
Is that Netflix Instant?
That just showed up on Netflix Instant. It was one of those small releases last year. And then I saw a movie called Cohen and Tate, which is from, like, 87. And it was written and directed by Eric Red, who's probably best known for co-writing Near Dark with Catherine Bigelow. And it stars Roy Scheider and Adam Baldwin as two hitmen who have to transport this kid to some people to be killed or something. And it's kind of cool. It's a cool kind of road movie, you know, hitmen movies I can always watch even though they're so overdone. Mm-hmm. But it is a fascinating study in opposites because Roy Scheider, who I never would have like, I've just never really considered Roy Scheider. Like, as a, he was a, the guy from Jaws growing up, you know, that's how I knew him. And I've seen him in other stuff, and I always think, like, oh, yeah, there's Roy Scheider. But between seeing Sorcerer last year for the first time and now this, I'm like, man, Roy Scheider is the fucking man.
Yeah,
like, he's an awesome actor. He's good in everything. He's really good in this movie. And on the flip side of that is Adam Baldwin, early in his career, giving an unbelievably ridiculously overacted performance. He's really bad. He's sort of the brash, noisy one, and Roy Scheider is the quiet, experienced hitman, you know. It is fascinating to watch Anna Baldwin act his ass off next to Roy Scheider, who remains expressionless and always compelling, and Adam Baldwin, even without remembering his fucking crazy politics,
That's right.
Yeah.
I just remembered he's not Stern.
No, that was Stephen Baldwin.
That's Stephen Baldwin. Yes. Okay, long one. Okay.
Adam Baldwin is Firefly and Chuck and
Full
Metal
Jacket. Okay.
But he's very terrible in the movie. But the movie's worth checking out as sort of just a small little crime movie from the 80s. I watched, what is the one that I'm forgetting? I'm so upset about this. Oh, I remember. Jug Face, which was a horror movie that came out last year.
I think you tweeted about this.
I might have, yeah. It's about this small little, like, mountain town that there's a pit in the town, and they sacrifice people to the pit based on the faces that this guy carves in jugs. Fascinating, right? I wanted to like it more than I did. It's fine. It's not bad. Okay. But
was there a weather machine in it?
No weather machines.
Adam's out.
Anywhere, really. None. Just a pit and some jug faces. Okay. But you probably figured that out from the title. I wanted to like it more than I did, but I'm always on the lookout for like kind of smaller, cool horror movies.
Right.
The reason I tweeted about it was because two of the cast members, the girl that played the daughter, I think her name is Lauren Ashley Carter. I might have that wrong. And Sean Bridges, who was the dad and the woman. So the daughter and the father and the woman are both in Jug Face.
Okay.
And I compared it to Cheap Thrills and The Innkeepers because that those two movies also star to the same two actors. Like, Pat Healy, Sarah Paxton are both of them. Whatever. It was like an S. I wrote it like an SAT question. Because that's how I tweet, motherfuckers. And then the last one I'll talk about is a movie called Beneath, which is the new Larry Fessenden movie about a giant fish on a lake. A group of young people go rowing out into the middle of a lake, and then there's a giant fish trying to kill them, and they are shitty to each other. And I watched it, Scream Factory just put it out on Blu-ray, and Killer POV talked it, a couple people on Killer POV kind of talked it up at the end of the year. I think Rob Galuzzo put it on his top 10. So I was curious to check it out. And I kind of liked it. I recognize that it's not great. It's one of those, like, chiller productions, which is, like, a few steps ahead of sci-fi, but not as good as a real movie. Like, there's not very much... I don't know if they can't show gore. They choose not to. The fish is cool. The fish is, like, a big practical rubber fish. And it's interesting for a while. It gets kind of terrible towards the end, but it's fairly unpredictable for a while, and I kind of liked it.
How old is it?
It came out... Well, it's brand new on Blu-ray, so I think it showed at, like, festivals and stuff last year.
Okay, so it's a newer movie.
It's a new movie, I guess. I don't think it ever got a real theatrical... Oh, well, Chiller is, like, a cable network that we don't get.
Okay, right.
So it was made for cable, I guess. I don't know. There is one pretty fantastic Shark Night 3D joke in it, like a direct reference to the movie Shark Night 3D. So you have to applaud that kind of self-awareness. I don't know where I came down on any of those. Like, three okays and a bad. So, of everything we've talked about, Wolf of Wall Street is the winner.
I guess so.
All right.
I'm going with The Colony.
All right, you guys ready to talk about Captain America?
Let's do it.
Okay, so we'll talk spoiler-free for just a few minutes. We'll go around and get our first impressions or our major impressions, and then we're going to move into spoilers. So I will start at Adam. What did you think of Captain America, the Winter Soldier?
I liked it. I did. I think that there's some problems that I had with it, but for the most part, I enjoyed myself for 2 hours watching it. So.
All right. That was passionate and insightful. So, Mike.
My history with Marvel movies, with Marvel Studio movies, is I, for the most part, like... pretty much everything they've done. I won't go out of my way to defend, you know, Thor 2, but I've always enjoyed their movies to liking them a lot. I don't think I've ever loved a Marvel Studios movie.
Interesting.
As much as I wanted
Avengers?
Even Avengers. I really liked Avengers and I really liked the first Cap.
Cap is, by the way, that's nerd shorthand.
I'm sorry.
For Captain America. Just so you guys know. These guys, they write a column, Growing Up Nerdy Fridays, on FThisMovie.net.
Wait, we're talking about FF.
Yeah, oh yeah. Friday Follow.
Right. Okay.
Got it.
And maybe I'm still on the honeymoon, but I think I loved Captain America, too.
Okay, interesting.
I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Yeah.
And
I it's interesting that you bring up honeymoon, because I think... the internet right now is on a honeymoon. I feel like every time a new Marvel movie comes out, the internet is on a honeymoon with that movie. And so we're all very quick to say, best Marvel movie yet. Happened with Avengers, happened with Iron Man 3, happening now again with Captain America, the Winter Soldier. Didn't happen so much with Thor, the Dark World, but a lot of people loved that movie. I didn't. So I was surprised when people really loved it, and I feel like already opinions have been revised on that movie.
Can I say that maybe part of the reason, and I really hate that I'm like this and I try to fight it, but maybe part of the reason why, let's say I came out of Avengers, I was not let down at all, but maybe wanting to like it a little bit more is because the internet went crazy for it, and I
feel the first hour is a mess.
The first hour
of the Avengers is a disaster.
I really like the Avengers, but for whatever reason, and again, maybe I'll watch Winter Soldier again and come down a little bit. But I really liked the hell out of it. I thought it was.
Yeah, I'm more with you. I loved it. And I too am waiting to revise my opinion, and maybe the further away I get, the less I will like it. But I feel like. It did a lot of things that other Marvel movies have not done so well in the past, in that it delivered a lot of really great action, and it's actually about something more than what it's about. Like, most of the Marvel movies are just about whatever the plot is going on, and this movie is actually about something larger, which I thought was really smart, and I'm really surprised that the two Captain America movies are, like, two of my favorites, because I've never been a big Captain America. I mean, he's fine, you know, and I've liked his dynamic within the Avengers before, but just as a solo guy, I never read a ton of Captain America, and thought it was really great. I you know, obviously I think there are a couple flaws, which we'll talk about, I'm sure, when we get into spoilers. But yeah, I like you. I got a big kind of Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol vibe, which I know, Mike, you don't like. Oh. But
I do.
I just think that movie is so entertaining and has such good action and has such a kind of a fun team dynamic thing going on. And watching Winter Soldier, I kind of had that same feeling that it felt fun to watch the way that watching Mission Impossible Ghost Protes made me feel. All right, so I guess we're going to move right into spoilers. So I apologize, we're not even 30 minutes into the show and we're getting into spoilers. But if you haven't seen the movie yet, you should, especially if you're a fan of these kinds of movies. I got to say...
you know, I'm sorry.
Well, no, every time one of these new kind of comic book movies comes out, we generally have done a podcast on it. We've skipped a few, but and I think that's because I feel like our audience is kind of a comic book savvy audience and wants to hear us talk about these movies, and because they're kind of the big blockbusters. And but I feel like I'm running out of shit to say.
Yeah,
all we ever do when we talk about them, and I'm hoping we can rectify that or do something different this time around. I don't mean we F this movie. I mean just we, the internet. All we really do is we sort of measure them against one another, against the comic book. Did it get this right? Did it feel like this other thing that I read? We're not always talking about them as movies in a larger context. It's just it's this way of like ranking them. There's just not that much to say. I remember you and I doing a show on Thor, and we found things to say about Thor, but I really remember feeling like, what do we say about this movie? It's fine.
I think we talked about our newfound crush on Chris Hemsworth.
For sure. And seeing Thor the Dark World, which I had a lot of problems with, actually put some of the first Thor into focus for me and made me almost appreciate the first Thor more than I thought I did. And maybe that's a good place to start off. So we're going to get into spoilers. If you haven't seen Captain America Winter Soldier, you should.
If you're a fan, though, I'll say this. If you watch Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you need to go see this movie right now.
Yeah.
Because it has huge... And that was... Coming out of the movie, I've been watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And
what are they going to do with that
show? I was like, what?
Yeah.
This movie... isn't relevant, or this TV show isn't relevant anymore.
Right. Like, and I haven't been watching the show. I watched, like, the first 1.5 episodes, and I bailed. And part of that, I think, is because I was just waiting for the DVD. Like, I'll just watch them all at once. Because I do want to see it, but I wasn't crazy about what I saw. But, yeah, one of the things that I liked about this movie is that it legitimately shook up the status quo inside this universe and really changed some things in a major way. One of the things that... I won't say the movie could have done better. I saw Film Crit Hulk tweet something about this, that he still likes the first Thor better than Thor 2, and he still likes the first Captain America better than the new Captain America, because while the second installments may function better as movies, or they're more exciting, or whatever, that the first movies really get character stuff right, that they're much more about character stuff, and... I would agree with that. I mean, I feel like I really liked this movie, and there is a lot of really good character stuff that comes through for Captain America. But I think in terms of the character of Captain America, he's way better served by the first movie than he is by this movie.
I think that that's
the movie's more plot heavy.
That was the one thing coming out of the movie that I just like. Captain America in the comic and in this, like... He's not a guy who has character flaws, you know. Like he's supposed to be the guy who always does the right thing.
Right,
that's his thing. And going into this movie, it was interesting to see them be like, okay, like, how does this guy who always does the right thing with this, like, 1945 mentality deal with things in 2014? Right. That was interesting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But as far as, like, Cap goes, you know, he's not a conflicted guy. He has his morals, and he's right. going to stick with them.
Right.
So I think that's the only thing that doesn't have me really jump in and, like, love Captain America.
As a character?
Okay. Yeah. And I think that's why...
Well, I found that interesting, because you love Superman as a character.
Yes.
So when you say they have a lot of similar...
They do. I think that they've found ways...
Superman lets way more people die. Right? Is that...
No.
Captain America was trying to save people in this movie. I don't know if you noticed.
I don't want to go into it too much, but like I think that Captain America is always going to have more of a problem dealing with things because of his limitations with his powers. Like, Superman... can do anything.
Right.
So I think that the writers of Superman have really had to force that and, like, force different, like really start to come up with some character flaws with Superman.
Okay.
Over the years. So
that's I was going to say, that makes him sound less interesting to me, that not only is he perfect inside, but he can also do anything. Like, at least yeah. Captain America is like, I can't reach
and
that
that's what I mean.
Top
yeah.
shelf.
Yeah.
Oh, damn it. He struggles with that every day. So, okay, let's talk about the movie. I don't know where to start, really.
We can just start timeline-wise, the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, okay.
Works for me.
Well, let's talk about the destruction of S.H.I.E.L.D., because we're going to jump around. So this is the movie that says S.H.I.E.L.D. no longer exists, and I got to say, I'm okay with that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, S.H.I.E.L.D. has been the sort of unifying thing inside of all these Marvel Universe movies, and a lot of times I feel like it's gotten in the way, most notably in Iron Man 2,
yes.
which spends so much time dealing with S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff that the movie's just kind of a mess. Although not if you ask Doug. And so I wasn't necessarily sad to see it go. But at the same time, S.H.I.E.L.D. is a constant inside the Marvel Universe as a comic book series. So what, do they rebuild it? Do they retcon it in the next movie where it's like, no, some of S.H.I.E.L.D. survived, so there's still going to be a S.H.I.E.L.D. What does the TV show do? I don't know.
Right. No, that's a great question. Cause I would be a little disappointed if their next movie is like, no, we figured something out.
But they kind of do that all the time. And like,
but wouldn't it be nice? Right. Well, yeah, but what I'm saying, yeah. like, that's what would be disappointing.
Sure, yeah.
Right?
No, stick to your guns.
Right.
Like, I didn't mind Nick Fury coming back because it made sense and exactly. whatever. And yeah, he's probably not really going to die. But this is now the third Marvel movie in a row to pull that same shit. And spoilers for the other Marvel movies coming up. In Iron Man 3, Pepper Potts dies for what? 50 seconds, and then it's like, nope, I'm fine, just so we can have one shitty beat where he's like, oh, damn it, Pepper, oh, you're fine. Thor the Dark World kills Loki, and then, no, doesn't really kill Loki, and now this movie kills Nick Fury, oh, now we didn't really kill Nick Fury. And the Avengers, actually, I guess it's the fourth Marvel movie in a row, because the Avengers kills Coulson and then brings him back on a TV
yeah.
show.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's gotten a little tired. Not that I wanted them to keep Nick Fury dead, this was the most I've ever liked Nick Fury in any of these movies, because he had something to do and a character to play.
So most I've liked Black Widow as well.
Oh, yeah,
well.
For sure.
She was awesome in this one, I thought.
She's really great, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I liked Falcon. I liked, like, this to me was the movie where, even more so than the Avengers, and I enjoy the Avengers, especially the second hour. It's just a ton of fun, and as a kid who grew up reading Marvel comic books like crazy, like, it was just great to see all these characters in the same movie and interacting, and that was a ton of fun. But I feel like Captain America the Winter Soldier, for me, paid off the Marvel cinematic universe more than even the Avengers. So when Gary Shandling, or this monster that used to be Gary Shandling, shows up as Senator Stern, I kind of chuckle to myself because I remember him from Iron Man 2. And then at the end, he says, "Hail Hydra." And it's like, yeah, that's fucking great. He works for Hydra. And when Robin Schabowski shows up from Agents of, you know, from S.H.I.E.L.D., it's like, yeah, that's great. And they don't have to stop and explain, here's who
exactly.
I am.
Right.
I like the one scene that he gets with Agent Carter.
Yeah.
I thought that was good. And I was so relieved that they didn't like, have her die in that scene or something where she, like, says one last thing to Captain America and then just quietly dies just so we can tie up that thread. Like, right. No, he's going to go visit her again tomorrow or something. Who knows? But
right.
I thought there were a lot of little things that came up that I felt, like, rewarded me for investing myself in this universe, even more so than some of the past movies.
That's interesting.
Out of all of the movies, like, this was the one where I was watching it being like, this is remarkable what they've done.
Yeah.
Like, it's what Marvel's done with all of these movies. It is just, I almost want to see what people are going to say about this 30 years from now.
Right.
Like, this is fantastic.
This being what Marvel has done as a whole?
Yeah, like this entire universe that they've created in motion pictures is just... It's
at the same time, I feel like it's ruining movies, but...
How so?
I don't know, because other people are just trying to copy what they're doing, and I don't just mean DC, I just mean everything's a universe now, and every movie is based on a comic, but I'm burned out on it. I feel terrible, but before this movie, they showed a trailer for, you know, the 7th X-Men movie, it's not the 7th,
right?
And the new Spider-Man movie, it's just... Like, I literally went to go see Final Fantasy, The Spirits Within, first show, first day, because there was going to be a teaser for the Spider-Man movie. Not a trailer, nothing, just my first look at Spider-Man. And so I sat through that fucking Final Fantasy movie. I don't play Final Fantasy, I don't know shit about Final Fantasy. I just watched, like, a weird CGI motion-captured cartoon just so I could see 90 seconds of Spider-Man.
Thank God for the internet.
I was so right. I was just beside myself, crazy excited to see Spider-Man.
Yeah, no, I know. And that's
2002. Gone. And now the trailer for Spider-Man comes on, and I'm just like, ugh.
Now what gets me excited is
anything else.
No, it would be like maybe who's, you know, I will be so excited for Ant-Man, and it has nothing to do with Ant-Man. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
I'm excited for Guardians of the Galaxy. It has nothing to do with Guardians of the Galaxy. Right. So, like, comic book stuff.
Although that is a pretty sweet trailer.
It's a great trailer. Yeah. Right. No, but I'm sorry. But I was excited even before the trailer. Just mean because of...
Well, now it's a chance to see a filmmaker you like work in a genre that you like, or, like, what will this look like?
Exactly.
What will this feel like if we found out that these guys are bad examples because they make horror movies, but Edgar Wright or James Gunn... It's like, oh, this guy's going to make this kind of movie that he's never made, or on a scale that he's never worked before.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, that's where now I get my excitement.
Yeah.
But you're right. Yeah, I missed that.
My excitement died the day the Green Lantern movie came out.
No, they nailed that.
And let's be fair, it didn't die the day it came out. It died when you did the podcast.
Yeah, right? I was holding out hope. The movie's good, guys. The movie's good.
No, that movie works. Don't you sell yourself short. One of the really interesting things I think about, and I don't even know who to give credit to, I guess Kevin Feige, I don't know, about Captain America the Winter Soldier is I feel like more than any of the Marvel movies so far, they picked virtual unknowns to direct. I mean, I know Alan Taylor did Thor the Dark World, which he'd done Game of Thrones, so you could sort of see, okay, he's a TV director, but sure, this makes sense. I was actually way more excited when it was going to be Patty Jenkins, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't it Pat? And then she quit for whatever reason. I wish we could have seen that movie. But these guys, Joe and Anthony Russo, are basically TV directors.
Did they do You, Me, and Dupree?
They did You, Me, and Dupree, and Welcome to Collinwood, I think, that remake of Big Deal on Madonna Street. Mostly they do TV, a lot of episodes of Community, which is why Danny Pudi shows up and whatever.
Right.
And this isn't my thought. I don't remember where I read it, but somebody pointed out that...
I wrote it.
Okay. Mike wrote that he felt like part of the reason why the action is so good in the movie is because they know timing from doing comedy so much. That the timing is so good on the action beats because they're using sort of their comedy chops and applying it to action. I thought that was a really interesting observation.
That was interesting of me to write that.
Yeah.
Good job, Mike.
That's really awesome. That first attack on the pirate ship.
Oh, my God, that's awesome.
It is, but I was a little nervous because I felt like some of the action was being shot a little too close, a little too shaky. I felt like there was a little bit of dodgy CGI. And so I was a little bit nervous, and whatever, the movie's still fine as a result, and I feel like it gets better and more confident as it goes along. And will every once in a while have just one shot or one thing that's so good that it carries you through the next two or three that aren't as strong.
Right.
You know, I what I liked about that opening scene with the boat is because you haven't really got a chance, I think, through the first Captain America movie and through Avengers, you didn't really get to see Captain America be
beat-ass
Captain America, right. Like, they had to establish that. To be able to have this movie work, you need to right off the bat be like, hey, this is what the guy now doing it for years can do. Right. And I think that was necessary for it to work.
Quiet it was at times, too.
Yeah.
It was, I love that part.
That's and good. Chris Evans is, you know, kind of a surprising choice, I think, when they first announced it, just because we were so used to him playing Johnny Storm. Yeah. He was really great. He's the one good thing.
He's the only good thing about that movie.
Movies. And he's great as just sort of cocky a-hole. And so this part, obviously, is 180 degrees the other direction, but holy shit, he's so great.
He is.
As Captain America. And that's everything. And that's...
And a monster.
Oh my gosh, yeah. It's
right.
I felt like he was going to fall over. he's almost, like, cool it a little bit.
That scene, just going back to the action, that scene in the elevator was so awesome. I loved it.
I did, too. Let me ask you this. Had you seen trailers for this movie?
I did.
Okay, and so did I. And I more and more have, like, kind of tried to avoid a lot of that stuff. And I really liked the trailer. I mean, the trailer got me super excited to see the movie. But the elevator thing is given away a little bit trailer. And so on the one hand, that spoiled a little bit of it for me. But on the other, because I knew there was about to be a fight, I actually found myself enjoying the way that they built up to it way more.
Absolutely.
Because it took every time it
opens,
in the movie.
Every time the doors open and more guys get out, I'm just like,
and they're all, like, big dudes, and, like, we're all like, oh, shit, this is it, this is the part.
And that takes some, like you said, confident filmmaking. Yeah. Like, that's a small space to do a fight scene in it, you know. And you never lose the action. Really, throughout the movie, that's what I was most impressed with the fight scenes, is I could tell you what was happening.
Right.
Because I got nervous in the beginning, a lot of shaky cam.
Right.
I thought it was, that scene's awesome.
That's a great scene. And, the movie, I think, to me, is filled with a lot of those scenes. I'll jump to one of my problems with the movie, and I don't want to spend too much time on problems because I really liked this movie. In the middle, when they're on their road trip, kind of trying to find out what's going on, and they get to the underground computer that's actually Arnim Zola, and he explains the whole plan. That didn't work to me. The idea that Arnim Zola is now a Johnny Depp computer and that he just willingly spells out the entire, S.H.I.E.L.D. is lousy with Hydra agents. And
look, I edited this piece for you.
Yeah. That stuff, I thought, didn't work so hot.
But the War Games joke got a huge reaction.
Did it really?
Theater. I was in, I was surprised by it.
I didn't mind the War Games joke. I didn't like that he had seen it.
I agree. I totally agree. I was expecting him to not know what...
He hadn't seen Rocky yet.
Right. Star Wars, Star Trek.
Right. There's no fucking way he's seen War Games.
I couldn't agree more. At the exact
same time. War Games.
Maybe he identifies with Matthew Broderick as...
Maybe he heard about how cute Ally Sheedy is.
There you go.
Maybe. I was asked by some... And you guys can talk about that scene in a second. I'm dominating way too much. But somebody asked me... It was Adam Risky. He said, do Black Widow and Captain America, like, get together in the comics? I said, no. Mm-hmm. He said, well, it seemed like they were kind of taking that direction. And, I mean, I agree. I think they were sort of hinting at that, but I'm really glad that they didn't
thing. I got the feeling from it, this is just me, that she admires him and she sees in him what she could have been had she not made the mistakes she did.
And I think she has a little bit of fun, like, fucking with
him. I think she does too,
yeah. So I don't think they're trying to set up a romantic relationship between them. Mm-hmm. But I think they have, the two characters and the two actors, have a chemistry together. Yeah, and
absolutely.
So we kind of react to that. But, how much of this movie is just Captain America and Black Widow, like, hanging out together and doing shit? That's great.
I was going to say, I couldn't be more... fine with it, honestly. Yeah. I enjoyed all their scenes together.
Yeah,
like I said before, I've never I've always enjoyed looking at Black Widow, but I've never enjoyed her character more than I did in this movie. I thought she was really great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I forgot what I was going to say. Damn it.
I think the only scene that I didn't like, it's just, I don't know why this bothered me watching it, okay? I know I'm crazy, probably yeah. is, but like when he goes to visit, oh my God, who's the agent's name? She was the lady from, his love interest from the first movie.
Peggy Carter?
Yes, yeah. When he goes to see Agent Carter, like, and she has Alzheimer's? Like, I just felt like, I didn't know why they had to put that in there. Like, I got that she was old, I got that she was dying, and I just didn't understand why they had to put that in there with her. I almost would like it better.
What is the reference to Alzheimer's?
Because at the end of their conversation,
she forgets, it's like she's seeing him again for the first time, and she starts crying, and she's like, you're still alive.
Yeah, I don't know that I read that as Alzheimer's. I think, maybe it is, honestly. Or it's just her, like, once again, reacting like, to the miracle, that is the fact that he's alive. I don't know. I think that could have been, because I think I had that same thought, like, uh-oh, what are they going to make this a thing? And then I thought, no, maybe that's actually just, I mean, I have those days where you look at your life and you're still just like, holy shit, or whatever, mm-hmm. you know? So I thought it could have been one of those.
Not going to lie, now I would love it if every Captain America movie, he walks in and she's like, what the fuck? That would be great.
Agreed. The
that's so interesting. So you didn't think it was all
No, no. I was more in line with you. I thought it didn't bother me like it bothered you, but I thought that too.
And maybe
but
it's I super prefer... clear that it is, by the way.
No. Maybe Adam and I agree.
Everyone in the comments is going to be like, are you stupid? She clearly has all... Did you not see all the medication on her bedside table?
No, I'm hoping...
Those were fucking vitamins.
I prefer your theory.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
The Nick Fury car chase, do you guys want to talk about that?
Yeah, we can talk about that. All right. Fine. Oh, it was good. It was cool.
I feel like your heart's just not in this movie, which is okay. Yeah. But
No, let's talk about this, Adam. What didn't work for you?
Listen. This is going to be a Ghost Protocol, isn't this? This is going to come up every time we start talking about it.
Why do you hate Captain America the Winter Soldier?
I don't hate it. You know what? I just kind of forgot about that scene because I was concentrating so much on some of the other scenes that I really liked. I mean, it was overshadowed to me by, like, I thought the ending was great. The elevator fight scene was great. So
I liked the fact that, again, the movie found something for Nick Fury to do other than to just be like bark orders, maybe not be trusted or whatever. You know, we finally get to see maybe how Nick Fury ended up in this position. Like, oh, he's not to be fucked with. And mm-hmm. that's how you get to this position.
I like there are various obstacles within that car chase for him to overcome.
And again, you know, I think the movie a little bit to the disservice of the Captain America character, who has already been well established and who, when he has character beats in this movie, they really resonate. There's not as many, but they're all great. Mm-hmm. And they very quickly spell out who he is, you know, and reacquaint us with him. So that's good writing and that's smart filmmaking. But it has so many balls to juggle, and to stack it up against something like Iron Man 2, which also tries to do the same thing, and then they just fucking fall all over the floor. This movie manages to keep everything in the air, that it gives Nick Fury one of the best action sequences in the whole movie, belongs mm-hmm. to a character who's not Captain America.
And a great end to that sequence as well.
Where he gets out of the car? Like,
I mean, just when Winter Soldier shows up.
Yeah,
it's
the first time you really see him, right?
Let's talk about Winter Soldier, because the movie, obviously, is called The Winter Soldier, and I hadn't read the comic, I think, when it was announced, and then you let me borrow it, and I read it, and I enjoyed it, but I remember being worried that they were already starting to just
pull from the books.
Yeah, like, sort of popular runs, they were going to just turn those into movies, because, you know, around the same time they announced Days of Future Past or whatever, and I'm just thinking, like, oh, great, so now we're just going to find adaptations of popular runs.
Right. By the way, I can't wait for Archie meets Punisher.
Just a real long comic as book. Lexi Alexander is directing it, I will see it. It's interesting because I don't think that that the movie spent that much time sort of devoted to the Winter Soldier. They almost could have called it something else, but included the Winter Soldier in it as right. as a. But it's only one of several sort of threats in the movie mm-hmm. or storylines going on in the movie. Did you guys feel like it was underused, used just enough? Should it have not been in there at all?
I felt like, and I was a fan of Brubaker's run and the Winter Soldier stuff, but watching the movie, I realized how little of the book I actually remembered.
I kind of had the same experience.
So in that regard, I don't, you know, I wasn't really comparing it to the book. So it's not like I walked up being like, oh, I really like what Brubaker did with the Winter Soldier here.
Right.
But as far as like what I saw on the screen, no, I thought it was fine. Like
it, I'm sorry.
He wasn't interesting enough to have more of him, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Right.
If there were more of him, he would have been more interesting, but I thought it was fine.
I think it's different because it automatically was different than it was in the comic because Bucky has a different connotation in the movies than he does in the comic book.
Okay.
Like, Bucky is kind of like his protege.
Right.
In the comic book. And in Robin. This one, yeah, it's kind of like the guy he looked up to.
Right.
So, automatically, I just think that there was a different dynamic with that than it was in the comic and in the movies.
Well, and also in the movies, you had Bucky as a supporting character for a third of a movie, maybe yeah. half of a movie. Yeah. Whereas if you're a comic book fan, Bucky means everything. If you're a Captain America fan, I mean, you've known Bucky for decades, you yep. know? And so for them to turn around and do something like that with him is like, holy shit.
Yeah.
And I do feel a little bit like at least the movie versions of Captain America don't quite earn that the same way that
yeah
the comics do, just because Bucky has such significance in the comics. I struggle with it because I liked what they did with it. He was a badass villain, and I thought everything worked. It was totally fine. I just felt like, I guess, I mean, he's sort of like a metaphor for the larger story going on, which is these guys being manipulated and betrayed by the people in charge. I just wondered if, like, I was going to say, well, maybe he should have been a S.H.I.E.L.D. creation, which then would have led more credence to, you know, S.H.I.E.L.D. is doing all this evil shit behind your back. But right. then it turns out that it's because S.H.I.E.L.D. is Hydra. So for him to be a Hydra creation...
He is S.H.I.E.L.D.
...is legitimate. Yeah. Right. He still is S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mind
so,
blown.
Yeah. So it does still work. But I did come out of it feeling like, well, he wasn't really that major of a factor. No. Which is fine. Yeah. But I just... I wonder if people will come away disappointed that...
I like that they didn't show how we got his powers. Like
right.
they kind of just, you know, it's like they didn't show the creature, you know, they didn't,
right.
I don't have to know why Michael Myers is a bad guy, you
right.
know, like he just
right.
is. And
right.
like, that's kind of what it was with this. I don't know how we got his powers. I didn't care how we got his powers. All I know is he was a formidable threat to,
right.
to Captain America. So
it made me wonder if they shouldn't have cast a bigger actor to play Bucky in the original Captain America. Because then the reveal of taking off the mask, to me, would have been automatic. We would have said, oh, that guy.
George Clooney.
Right, or whoever. Yeah. Chris O'Donnell. instead of them having to say, like, Bucky, my friend from the first movie, because he's this generic brown-haired guy. Again, nothing against the actor, but I just feel like even in the first movie, he didn't really stand out to me. I went into the movie knowing that it was Bucky and all that, you know, none of that shit applies, but I just feel like for the rest of the audience, maybe it would have been easier to say, oh my gosh, it's that guy, instead of really having to have it spelled out. I don't remember. Have you guys watched the first Avenger recently?
No.
Okay.
I wanted to watch it before I went, but I just never got around to it.
Well, I want to do, you know, every time a Marvel movie comes out, they do like the run up to the new one in theaters. They do marathons, but it's always 3D. So I don't ever go because
right.
I don't want to see them in 3D. I couldn't imagine watching this movie in 3D.
No.
Stop doing 3D. I don't understand. When they did the Avengers Marathon, I mean, I really wanted to go to the Avengers Marathon. That's awesome. Nope, 3D, not going. And they did a double feature of these, but I didn't go because it was 3D.
You're like, I'm going to go see Desolation of Smaug.
And yeah. 47 Ronin. In 2D. Both of them in 2D. I saw Smaug. Did you guys see it in 3D?
No. I was going to, but I haven't
seen it yet.
You haven't seen Desolation of Smaug?
It comes out on Tuesday.
Oh, you should see it.
I should probably go see it. It's got Evangeline Lilly in it.
She was so nice.
She's the girl's new mommy. She wrote a children's book.
Bond her made out.
Gun dropper. They make reference to the first movie in this one where Bucky supposedly at some point in the first movie talked about being tested on or something.
Yeah, I don't remember that at all.
And I don't remember that being part of it, but that's fucking foresight if that's really in the first movie.
Yeah.
Clearly they knew where they were going, and now news came out this week that they know where they're going until, what,
2028?
I don't want to live in this world. I don't want to live in the world where release dates are announced 5 years in advance.
Yeah, that drives you nuts.
Oh, because it's just, it's hubris, and it's they're putting all their attention on the wrong shit.
No, I understand.
It's like, we need a Spider-Man movie on this date this year. Who gives a shit if by the time we get to it, it deserves a sequel, if we know what we're doing anymore? I mean, it's just like, nope, we got to have it because we announced it. And I know they can pull the plug and cancel it still, but I hate this shit of...
We got to drum up... Like, the Star Wars stuff is driving me nuts.
We're setting up a universe for Spider-Man. We're going to build to a Sinister Six movie. Why the fuck do we need a Sinister Six movie?
Nobody's
I'm a huge Spider-Man fan. I could give a shit. If they made a Sinister Six comic book, I wouldn't fucking read it. Because I don't care. I read Spider-Man for fucking Spider-Man. Right. Not the Sinister fucking Six. You want to put them all in the same movie and make Spider-Man fight them? Fine. Because fucking Spider-Man is fighting them. I don't need to see a Sinister Six where they fucking argue about who's going to go pick up the pizza. Like, Doc Ock, you went last time. Venom does something shitty.
Then I do not have any pockets in this.
it bums me out, man. Whatever. So I'm glad that Marvel has a long range plan, and I got excited when they did a Stephen Strange name drop in this movie. I don't even love Doctor Strange, but it's just like, fucking hey, yeah, Stephen Strange.
I was looking when they were doing like the targets and they had like names showing up. I was like, who is it? Who is it?
And that kind of shit is like, that's what DVDs made for, because once that screen had passed, I was like, oh shit, I should have been paying attention. For sure, they had stuff in that scene.
They had little things all over. I read that in...
what are they? Because
Robert Redford's...
Oh, we got to talk about Robert Redford.
Like, I think in his refrigerator, there's a Paul Newman...
Really?
Something or other,
They have the Pulp Fiction
joke.
Yeah, that was pretty sweet.
That was.
Because it wasn't, like, too winky-winky, but, it was there.
I got
a laugh. All right, so I want to talk about Robert Redford, and then we got to talk about the credits tags.
Talk about the end.
Time for those to stop. Well, I'm not saying that's all we're going to talk about. I'm just saying these are two things that I want to bring up. One, Robert Redford, I thought was great in the movie.
Great.
That was awesome.
And such smart casting, because, again, if you're a fan of movies and you grew up, he made so many movies in the 70s, these sort of political conspiracy thrillers where he was the Captain America.
Right, exactly.
Where he was the guy working against this shady government and uncovering conspiracies and whatever. And so to have fucking Robert Redford, this sort of icon of American liberalism, to have his dying words be "Hail Hydra," I'm like, that is so subversive and so fucking great. I just love it. And I went into it again knowing that he was the villain, probably because the internet ruined shit or whatever. But I didn't care because I just thought the Hail Hydra. And by the way, how great is it to see Jenny Agutter like beating ass? I mean, it's actually revealed to be Scarlett Johansson, but like to see her
just punch her in the face,
right? That's like, awesome. I liked.
I thought he was fantastic,
right? Man. Isn't he so good?
He is.
That scene where he talks to Cap and is like. Like, being like, listen, help me out. I mean, this is why he's my friend. I didn't know that he was the villain, and I was totally on his side. I was like, hey, dude, tell him everything. This guy knows what's going on.
You just assume that he's not, because he's fucking Robert Redford, you know? So if you go in not knowing, if the internet doesn't ruin everything for you.
So is that when you turned on the movie?
Is that when you decided, like, this movie's not very good?
Fuck you guys.
No, you don't understand. I'm always the butt of this.
Did you not hear the Green Lantern contest? So, So let's talk about these credits tags and the fact that they can probably stop now.
I mean, I'm so alone, and I don't...
You still like it?
I don't mind them at all.
What the fuck did you get out of these?
Well, I don't... Well, fine, but why do they have to...
Because they don't they don't give us any new information. Listen, the first Iron Man, which is the thing they've been chasing
is
the fucking best.
I agree.
Also ruined by the internet. I went into it knowing that Samuel Jackson was going to show up playing Nick Fury. And I don't seek this shit out. I'm not a person who chases down spoilers. Whatever. So I knew that. What I didn't know was that he was going to say, I want to talk to you about the Avengers Initiative. And I was like, oh my fucking God, are they talking about doing an Avengers movie? Awesome, right?
Sean Connery. I loved it. What was the one with the Thor's hammer at the bottom?
That was Iron Man 2.
Iron Man 2.
And that's a perfect example of why they suck now. Because let me tell you something.
I liked that one.
Why?
Because I thought it was fun.
What was... They found a fucking hammer in the desert.
It was Thor's hammer!
Yeah, but guess what? You already knew they were making a fucking Thor movie. That works. That makes my head explode. If they haven't announced a Thor movie...
I understand. Well, no, I
Wonder,
totally...
Wonder Twin Powers activate. We've got this. I'm on your side, Bob.
No, I am not disputing that.
Okay.
At all. But I don't mind, like, this venom for them. I don't understand.
What is the point?
Well, what's...
Because they're what fun! You go to the movies because it's fun!
What do they harm?
What is what... It's not that they hurt, it's that they're lazy. And that
you need to ask why you're not... You don't like fun.
Are they not designed to have us sit there and go, holy shit? Is that not their design? If it's not, then I'm totally wrong. I'm way off base.
Then what's the difference between that? I mean, it's essentially a trailer at the end of the next movie teasing the next movie they're going to do.
Right.
Which is fine. Like, it's not a problem to me. Like, why? What's the difference between that and at the end of it saying, you know, James Bond will return and blah, blah, blah? Like...
Because that's totally fucking different. Are you kidding me? It's completely different. I really feel like they are designed to garner this gasp reaction from us. You know, when fucking Thanos shows up at the end of the Avengers, I understand it means very little to a lot of the audience. But to the people that know, they fucking know. And they go, holy shit, they're going to do Thanos? Okay, great. And then they do a second tag that's just like a funny little comedy beat. Great. Good job on both of them. You get a pass, Joss Whedon. But ever since that first one that got us all talking and excited, now we expect it from them. And I just feel like they need to give us a little something more. If there was no announcement of a Thor movie, and then I go to see Iron Man 2, and Coulson pulls up in the desert and says, sir, we found it, and they pan down to the fucking Thor's hammer, the entire audience shits its pants in unison. They're going to do a fucking Thor movie? Are you kidding me? Awesome, right? The fact that Thor's already announced, it's just like a fucking, what, a reminder, just, Thor's coming. Hey, look, Thor's coming. It means nothing. And... Had they not already announced, and there's no way around it. This is the problem. This is what I was talking about with the internet ruining everything. There's no way around it now, because we know that Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver are in Age of Ultron. We know who's playing them. We've already seen shots of them in their costumes. So all that shit is ruined by the internet.
But it's neat seeing that.
Why?
Even though, I don't know, because we haven't seen it yet. Because we haven't seen it. We I know it's coming, right. But I still got a kick out of seeing
I guess.
That.
I just feel like...
I totally...
I know they can't keep it a secret, but if they could, then that means something to me.
Sure.
If it's like...
It means something...
They keep saying the twins, and we see him running around, and we see her levitating shit, and all of us go, what? And we all masturbate at the same time.
We can masturbate.
But I'm just saying,
now,
like,
if you guys want.
All of your nice new equipment here, Patrick. You know, I...
That's what I call my PC. Yeah. My nice new equipment.
Okay, I'm just going to... Okay, you know what? We'll stop arguing about it. It's fine.
No, all I want to say is...
It's fine that you guys like it, and it's dumb, but no, it's totally fine.
I know Adam and I are probably in the minority, and I completely agree that they're not giving us anything. You're right. I don't have those moments like I did with the Avengers Initiative, and that's what I would want, ideally. But I still personally... It's twofold. One, I get a kick out of every time my wife, Christy, turning to me saying, who is that?
Yeah.
Or what is that?
Right.
That always makes me laugh. But two, Thor's hammer, I'll give you. But seeing Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver. I got a kick out of seeing them because I haven't seen them yet.
Way better than Thor's hammer. I'll admit that's way better than Thor's hammer. But I just wish
shit on the thing. Adam was. No, no,
that is the worst one. Wait, is it the worst one? There might be a worse one. What was Iron Man 3? Did Iron Man 3 have one?
I've liked all of them. So,
well, which one was the one with the collector?
That was the Dark World. That was
You're right. You're right.
Like that was neat.
Sure. Yeah.
But I mean, it's kind of like seeing a trailer. That's all I'm trying to say is it's like seeing a trailer. I know they're making a Guardians of the Galaxy movie, yet I was excited to see the trailer. So why wouldn't I be excited to see this at the end of the movie?
No, because if they just showed a trailer, that would be more exciting to me than some dumb fake scene. Again, because we've come to it, I'm coming at it from the wrong place. I guarantee I'm going to get fucking hammered for this.
No, I think it's the other way around.
I don't think I am. I really think they're coming at this from a place of surprise and not just tease. I think there's tease, but I think they want to be surprising in a way, and I just feel like they need one more thing. We all know it's coming. I'm amazed at the number of people that leave the fucking theater. Like, when will you guys learn there's going to be more shit after this? So we all know that it's coming. We generally know that it's going to tease whatever the thing is next, you know? So I understand that, but I just feel like if they could just come up with one more thing, I don't know what, you know? I don't know. I don't know what it would be. I really don't. But I just wish they were trying a little bit harder, because the second post-credit scene in this is even worse than the twins. I didn't even mind the twins, because like you said, hey, there they are. Neat. I just wish that we didn't already know that that was all happening, because that would have been mind-blowing, you know? But the second one with Bucky standing in the museum?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I didn't even remember until you said
what's that?
That's what I was like, oh,
yeah. It's garbage, right?
Yeah.
It's not anything.
Right.
Again, you got to have one more thing. I don't know what, but there's got to go one more.
Two, maybe. Yeah.
Well, and now they do too, because in Thor the Dark World, we have the one that teases the next movie, and then we have Thor and Natalie Portman kissing.
Yeah.
So that's the shawarma, and this was the shawarma, but it...
But it's not...
It's not anything, right?
No,
I know. It's telling us information that we already... Bucky's alive and is maybe remembering who he is. Great. We covered that, guys, in the movie before the credits. So, give me something new.
You know what? Change my mind.
Yes! Two against one.
Yeah.
We had a thing here.
We still have our thing. I'm kidding. I like him.
All right. So, you said you wanted to talk about the end.
Yeah. I was very impressed with the fact that there's so many... Okay, we've talked about, like, Man of Steel, where it's just this orgy of destruction at the end of it.
Orgy of destruction!
Condrapa! So, it's got...
Buy the new album, Orgy of Destruction by Condrapa!
So, I thought that it was...
Bonus hidden track, Thor's Hammer!
Their new sick version of It's Fine.
Oh my god. I'm glad I got it.
Okay, Orgy of Destruction.
Yeah, Orgy of Destruction.
Orgy of Destruction!
So it's this.
Orgy of Destruction!
Alright. So it's this big, just bunch of Orgy of Destruction.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of times where just, like, the action and what's going on gets lost, and I thought it really... I was always able to, like, understand where I was in relation to the objects and everything else that was around, which is very impressive to me, because that's just such a hard thing to choreograph, especially when it's all, like, 99% of it's CGI.
Right. Erica went to see it and was sort of commenting to me that that part... bugged her, that she's just tired of seeing so much
destruction,
CGI destruction of just everything is explosions. And for some reason it bothered me less in this movie, and maybe it's because I liked the movie more, and maybe it's because it was established that, like, it's happening over the ocean, and that they go out of their way to kind of say, like, there's nobody on there. The only people that are dying are bad guys. Yeah. Captain America, again, is trying to save the people that he can. He gets them all off the bus at that one point, mm-hmm. you know. So it didn't bother me as much. I understand that we've become a little bit numb to just nonstop explosions and violence, you know, because you can do it. You can just do anything on a computer now. So they do, and they just run wild with it. But yeah, it didn't bother me as much. And I, like you, felt like the movie did a good job of balancing, like, who's doing what and where. Because they did kind of split everybody up. So Captain America's doing this, and Black Widow's doing this, and Falcon's over here doing this. We got to talk about Falcon.
Especially with three identical carriers. It's not like they had distinguishing marks where they could be different. It was like, oh, okay, he's on this one, she's on that. Yeah.
Right. Mike, were you going to say something?
No.
Okay, great. What did you guys think of Falcon as played by Anthony Mackie?
I
Falcon.
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah.
I honestly don't know a lot about Falcon in the comic books.
I don't either.
Because he's kind of been removed from the... Like, back, I believe it's the 70s. Like, there, it was Captain America and Falcon. They were in, like, the comic together.
Yeah.
And now it's kind of just Captain America. So.
Okay. Did it bother you at all? Because I find a lot of times the hardcore comic fans get upset when they change something, like...
Anything,
yeah. But, I mean, Falcon in the comics has just wings. Like, he's wearing wings. They're not, like... computerized, mechanized wings, and in this movie they are. Didn't bother you guys at all?
No, because I like when they go to a practical level.
I completely agree.
How would this really work?
Right.
You know, like, and that...
So I'm sorry, in the comic books, what is he...
Are they just, like, big white wings?
Yeah, I don't... He doesn't have any rockets or anything.
But they're not, like, his wings. He doesn't have wings.
No.
Okay. It's just, something he wears.
It is, but, okay.
And maybe they've updated that. I don't think I've seen a drawing of Falcon since, like, my official handbook to the Marvel Universe in 1986. You know?
he's in the comic Winter Soldier. I believe he's in the end.
Sure. I remember very little. Sorry, everybody. Yeah, I like that they kind of set up, again, that they're going to be a duo, a team, whatever, you know. It did feel a little bit like... Don Cheadle as War Machine. I felt like, oh, we got the black guy playing Second Banana, and he gets to wear this special robot suit, you know. But whatever. I thought he was better used than Don Cheadle was in those movies.
Good chemistry.
Yeah. I really liked the way that they set up their own little team so that by the end, when it's him and Falcon and Black Widow and Nick Fury and Chbosky, like, all together, that's really cool, especially when the movie is about this larger organization basically crumbling, that it's saying, no, teams can still work, you know, and they still function, but you have to know who's on your team, and you have to be able to trust them.
Yeah.
I thought that was all really cool.
Agreed.
I thought it had a really cool team dynamic to it.
Now, the thing that, I don't know, I really loved about the movie, the thing that I...
I'm pretty sure you didn't really love anything
about
the movie,
I loved a lot of the movie.
Oh, interesting.
Assholes.
You know Thor's hammer wasn't anywhere in the movie.
Yes, okay. I know.
Okay.
Well, Thor's hammer is existing while the movie is taking place.
Just knowing that it's out there.
Yes.
You're right. Loki's scepter does show up.
Exactly.
Close enough.
Yeah. Works for me.
One of those great post-credits tags that you guys love.
I like how they...
Oh my god, Ultron's going to be in the next movie, guys. It's that Ultron on a computer. Can you believe it, Nudge Nudge? Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
By the way, Patrick's friend, his name is Nudge Nudge.
Yeah.
He's living in the closet.
He's a little alien. He came to me during the night, and I named him Nudge Nudge. This thing is going so off the rails. I don't know what happened.
I can't even make any points anymore. I'm done talking.
What was the thing that you really loved about it?
I love that it's relevant.
Why am Nudge Nudge?
Right.
I'm sorry. He's hungry. He's just hungry, you guys.
Thank God these microphones are picking any of this up.
I love that it's relevant to, like, what's going on right now. Like,
it was.
They did it in a way that it wasn't hitting you over the head with hey, this is going on right now in our government.
Right.
It is going on in our government right now. And what would this guy from 1945 have to say about that?
Right.
So it was very, I thought, really took that to another level I liked the conversation that him and Fury have, like, right at the beginning when he finally shows them all this stuff and what they're gonna do.
Yeah.
And it just says,
this is fear.
Yeah, like, yeah, this is fear. And then they kind of draw this parallel to, like, it's intention, you know, the Shield has the intention of protecting people.
Right.
Hydra also had that exact same intention.
Right.
But it was more evil. Like, right. I mean, they had this, they were going to kill people to do so, but
right.
So was Shield. But they were under the guise that it was going to be bad people they were killing. So.
Right. Well, and even Hydra's definition of protecting people isn't exactly right. They were more so looking for uniformity, and they're kind of like the Nazis, right?
Yeah.
They're not actually looking to keep people safe the way that Shield is. They're looking to protect a certain kind of people from a certain way of life or whatever. But I thought that, and that was what I had said earlier in the podcast, that this seemed like the first Marvel movie to actually be about something mm-hmm. else. I think the first Iron Man deals with some larger issues.
Yep.
More so than maybe the next two. But last year, I don't remember when it was, Adam Riske wrote a column about what he wants to see from Marvel in Phase 2. And I reread it recently, not recently enough to remember each of the points, but I felt like watching this movie that it addressed several of those. One of them being that they should have great action, which I think this movie really did.
Absolutely.
And two, that they should actually tackle some larger issues. And like you said, yeah, that this mm-hmm. is about sort of national security in a way that is pretty damning of the current administration, you know?
Well, yeah, and if you just look at, like, this stuff right now currently that's going on with the NSA, and Hydra goes to the point of finding out about people and establishing who these people are, and if they have the possibility, like, you have a 50% chance of you being a problem
right.
in the future, so we're going to just eliminate you now.
Right.
So that's, you know, again, speaking to our modern political environment.
Right.
It's true.
I probably would have liked that beat even better if it didn't immediately make me think of, I think it's X-Men 2, where it's like, find the mutants, where mm-hmm. Professor Xavier is, like, mind-fucking all of the mutants at once. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I haven't watched X-Men 2 in a while. I don't know how it holds up. But so I felt like there was a little similarity in that, just, like, let's find the special people and eliminate them. But whatever. I thought that aspect of the movie was great, and I think that's what makes it stand above all the other Marvel movies. Again, I don't want to just have the conversation about where does it stack against all of the other ones, but to me, this one felt the most like a movie that works even outside of the sure. Marvel universe, while still, for me, being the movie that worked the best inside the Marvel universe, that it pays off all these other things.
Sure. And
I'm annoyed by some of the loose ends where we have to see Frank Grillo all burned, like, rescued from the wreckage, because right. we know he's going to be Crossbones, is that right?
I have no idea who he's going to be.
Yeah, and we have
there's a lot of people.
Batroc the Leaper shows up at the beginning, and again during the post credits thing. So there's like characters who are going to pop up again in theory. But I thought it paid off a lot of other cool stuff from the Marvel universe.
That would make sense if he's Crossbones, because he's in the Winter Soldier.
I think that's who he's supposed to be.
Okay.
Just this talk about where we sort of are as a country right now just has me a little worried for Nudge Nudge's future.
He looks around and he doesn't like what he sees, guys. He doesn't want to live in a world where people are indifferent towards Captain America, the Winter Soldier.
How have you been able to keep Nudge Nudge a secret for this long?
When we get to the end with where the Marvin Gaye song is playing and we're getting like the montage of what all the characters are doing again, I'm just like, wow, this movie is really confident
in what
it's doing. And I gotta give credit. I don't know who thought of using these guys to direct this movie. I know. Were they hired to do the next one already, or did they just announce the next one already? I feel like they were hired to do the next one too.
I mean, they are hired to do the next one.
They are. Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. I couldn't remember. I remember hearing Marvel had already greenlit the next one before this one comes out. They have so much confidence in it, and right. You know, again, rightfully so.
Absolutely.
I really do feel like they have yet to totally stumble, although for me, Thor the Dark World kind of close.
Yeah.
Oh, whatever.
But even then, that had...
That movie's fine. I mean, it's not terrible, but it just felt like a placeholder more than anything else.
I agree.
This really did get me excited, though, to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. again, because it's kind of just been sitting in the last four episodes. I just want to see what they're going to do now. Yeah, I want to see what they're going to do with it.
I got a bad feeling that it's not going to have that much of an impact on the movie, or the show, until the next season. If there is a next season, have they even announced?
They said that... Oh, go ahead.
I thought they did. I thought it's called... They have a name for it. I think it's still called Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Ghost Protocol. Something, you know,
the Winter Soldier.
Right.
They're saying that...
They're saying that this week's episode is going to address what happened in Captain America.
Really?
Oh, that's neat.
That's why I'm excited to watch it. I want to catch up to see how they're going to deal with this. I have a feeling at the end of this one, you've got Cap talking to Falcon, and he's like, yeah, I got to go find Bucky, you know? I just wonder if maybe they're going to kind of focus on these... They're, like, cleaning up the people from Hydra who are left over or something. I don't know.
I really, 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 really liked it.
Me too.
And I'm excited for... I won't say I'm excited for another Captain America movie because it's getting harder and harder for me to get really excited about these movies. I'm super excited about Guardians of the Galaxy, obviously.
Me too.
I'm excited for another movie that does its job as well as this one. Whatever that movie is.
Amen.
Even if it's not a Marvel movie, I'm just excited for another movie to work as well as this one does.
I'm excited. I'm having that with the X-Men, Days of Future Past. It was one shot in the preview. I was watching it. It was right before Captain America.
Yeah.
You see Nimrod come up behind Storm.
Yeah.
And I was like, that looks awesome, you know? Yeah. So I'm a little excited. I'm a little bit more excited.
Torn with that movie. Like, I really like so much of that cast.
Yeah.
That I'm like, I want to go see them. I just, it's all the X-Men stuff. I'm just sort of.
Yeah. It's
underwhelmed by it. And I liked First Class for the most part.
Yeah. First Class is fine. It's pretty good. We'll see. That movie could really go either way. Maybe it's going to be great. Maybe it's going to be a train wreck. I really don't know. But we'll know soon enough, won't we? Because it comes out in May, that and Spider-Man, and then we're done until Guardians of the Galaxy, thank goodness. Because right in between those, we have Transformers Age of Extinction, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys heard, but I think I just found a Transformer. That was what I said when I first found Nudge Nudge, but it turned out to be Nudge Nudge. He was not a Transformer. I was like, you guys, I think I just found a Transformer.
I thought it was a fucking Care Bear.
Nudge Nudge kind of looks like a fucking Care Bear. Anyway, thank you guys very much for listening. Thank you, Mike and Adam.
Thank you, Patrick.
I'm sorry, Nudge Nudge was on my... He was chewing on my leg.
Nudge Nudge, down, down.
Down, down.
Fucking Care Bear. Anyway, thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Chaos and destruction!